you reframe it in such a way that you say, this is the cost of doing business at this level. All right, my friends, the Ultimate OD Podcast, very fun episode for you today. I'm going to fill you in on the past few weeks of my journey, where I'm going, what I'm doing. It's exciting. We have the closing call of the episode. This is the Ultimate OD Podcast. Here we go. All right, my friends, the Ultimate OD Podcast, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for subscribing, liking, sending me emails, comments. It helps us grow, gives me juice to keep on going. It's been a little bit since I've updated you on the state of the practice, so that's kind of what I want to do today. This is a little office talk section. So we've been looking to expand from our 1,600 square foot office to a 3,500 square foot office. When I was going through trying to find the property, trying to find all this, make the process happen, there's a piece of land, and my realtor, my broker, and my lawyer were like, you should just buy this land and develop it yourself. I'm like, one, I don't have the money for that, and two, I don't think it's as easy as you think, and I've been right. The person I'm working with that is actually developing the land, that owns land that I'm leasing from, great guy. We've been working together and seeing the process. Like, we've had to go in front of the planning commission for the township, and then the township board to get approved. It's been like a 3-month process. It is taking forever. And the hoops he's had to jump through trying to talk to corporate entities like Walgreens, pushback from other business owners in the complex. It's just ridiculous. So I like eye care. I like what I do. I'm very thankful that I haven't went down that path. Now in the future, when I have more time, absolutely, that's something I may pursue, but keep the main thing the main thing. And right now, I do eye care, and that's what I'm going to try to maximize. Now, in the next step of the evolution, recruiting a doctor has been a thing. And I have a couple of doctors that I've been talking to. It's been awesome because it's forced me to think about what I want out of my practice, what I want to do in terms of how I want to spend my time, whether it's working at the office, working in the office, and I've gained a lot of realization. Now, if you're a football fan, you know that Michigan just won the college football national championship. And I was listening to a recap of analysis of Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh. And that's Jim Harbaugh is the coach of the University of Michigan. And they said that one of the things that he does, he's a CEO kind of coach. He's not the scheme X and O's, but he surrounds himself with great assistant coaches. He always develops an awesome coaching staff. Well, that kind of makes me think as I go through and I'm recruiting a doctor, there's a couple different avenues. Some, you know, new, not as established, just want to get their foot in the door. Others are more established. They may be a little more talented, aligned with what I want to do. There's a cost difference, right? What kind of practice do I want? Do I want to just get someone in there and make it work, or do I want to have the best of the best? I kind of like Jim Harbaugh. I want to recruit the best. Again, it's a dollars and cents game that I'm playing, but that's kind of the mindset that I'm thinking. Get the best doctors in, and you're going to be a better practice, period, right? Don't settle on that, but again, you have to look at cash flow, and as I'm going to the new office, I don't have to expand myself too much in terms of staff, but I'm going to have a higher rent. Invariably, there's going to be the nut to pay down the build-out costs and increase wage from another doctor. I'm trying to factor all of that in so I know I'm going in with eyes wide open. What can I do? And from that, I've also tried to figure out how many days a week do I want to work? What do I want that schedule to look like? And this has been the biggest conundrum, the biggest thing that I've kind of been trying to deal with is, do I want to just have that dry eye practice where, or dry eye clinic where I'm just seeing ocular surface disease, dry eye patients, referrals, and that sounds really appealing. When I get to the level of where I'm getting referrals and we're booked out, that's awesome. But when you're doing that, when you're playing that game, it's a volume thing, right? When you're seeing a bunch of medical, you got to turn and burn. Well, at the same time, revenue per patient's a little bit higher when I'm doing the optical. And I know the formula to make higher revenue with primary care. Can I combine the two? What does that look like? How many days do I want to do that? And as I've been thinking through that, planning out what that looks like, the question I ask myself is, why am I not doing that now? Right? A lot of times that I've had in my life, I've looked at a scenario and said, oh, well, if when I get to that point, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And then I take a step back and I'm like, well, what am I waiting for? Why don't I do X, Y, and Z now? So as I've been thinking that, I've been starting to implement the schedule I want. And it's been kind of enlightening of like, okay, I'm going to have primary care days Monday and Tuesday. The rest of the days are going to be a little bit of primary care, but more of my specialty clinics, whether it's ocular disease, ocular surface disease, dry eye. And it's allowing me to have the best of both worlds. I'm going to refine that, obviously, when I have another doctor, because then we can see more primary care, which is the root of our business. But if you're thinking about doing something, if you're waiting to make the leap, why not now? Remember that we answer to ourselves. At the end of the day, when we've put all our chips on the table and our hands been played, did you do what you wanted or did you do what someone else wanted? What measuring stick are you gauging your success on? Is it yours or is it someone else's? And I keep asking myself that. The books I'm reading, the podcasts I'm listening to, it's a common theme. And you find what you look for in life. But a lot of what I'm finding is that it's not about what the outside world wants. It's not about what other people think a practice should look like. It's my practice. It's my life. I'm going to start living that right now. And what I'm trying to do is take a step back and say, monetarily, what do I need? How many days I want to work? But more importantly, how do I want to spend my time? I'm looking at adjusting some of my office hours, how I schedule, and it's changing how I staff or how what I need for staff. And it's just an eye-opening experience to do everything I want in the office that I'm trying to get out of and say, hey, you know, I'm looking forward to expanding in another doctor. It's just the next step. But the past 10 years, could I have been doing practicing in a different way if I would have just had a different mindset? And I think I could have. And I think you guys can do that too. So learn from my mistakes. Learn from what I'm trying to put out there and say, don't put it off. Do what you want to do tomorrow, today. Make it happen. And that's why you have to have the vision for what you want to do. Now, that's kind of where I'm at, my journey. The last thing I will leave you with is staffing. Now, staffing is a never-ending battle. It never gets easier. A few months ago, I had a podcast, and in my office talk section, I talked about if you're gone, is the environment that you're working in better or worse, right? Sometimes when you remove someone from the equation, you're like, oh, what are we going to do when they're gone? And then things are better. It's more smooth. There's more team feeling. There's cohesiveness. Well, with a staff member that, honestly, one of my top performers in optical, I liked her. I got along with her. But in interacting with the rest of the staff, kind of shady. Kind of a snake underlying, trying to sabotage what we were doing and not a team player, right? And when we'd have one-on-ones, weekly one-on-ones, this would never come up. But there'd be a gossip or an offhanded comment to someone else to try and stir something up. And one of my things that I told everyone in my staff to say is, what did they say when you said that to them directly? And again, we get no answer. Well, that came up and I bring it up to that staff member and she had nothing, right? And I was trying to salvage it. This is one of our busiest times of year. I'm like, let's just get through and then we'll make it work. Well, you can only do that for so long. And when your managers have to manage this person and they're sabotaging the, you know, the initiatives that we're trying to do, the culture that they're trying to implement, and I'm not supporting my managers, it's a bad look. So we just got down, we had our yearly reviews, if you will, you know, increase in wage, etc., all that. And she came out with a bunch of stuff that I just thought was not well-founded and more not even trying to be helpful. We sat down. I gave it 24 hours. I talked to the managers, had a one-on-one meeting with each of them. What do you want to do? What do you think? They gave me their thing. And although I would have handled it differently, tried to make it last a little bit longer, if I wouldn't have respected my manager's decision, I think I would have lost credibility. We would have lost some of that culture, some of that rapport that we built the past year and a half. And there's going to be patients, or there's going to be staff members that they're going to have to deal with. But if there's an underlying manipulative undertone, I can't allow that to sabotage what they're trying to do. So I got their back and I went with what they did. Now, is that going to be the case every time? Absolutely not. But at the end of the day, I think we constantly have to be evaluating our staff and not be afraid to make the office better. You have to be able to look at your people. That's one of the jobs of you as a CEO of your practice, and know where their talents lie and where you need the most help. Get them in the right positions and get them to be the most productive they can be on your team. And if you can't find a place for them, if they don't fit, get them off the bus. Too often, we let it linger. We let a bad situation get worse, and it sabotages the whole office. And it's because me, failed to act. The writing's been on the wall for me for, honestly, about 6 months solid. Maybe 8 to 12 going into it. I kept turning a blind eye to it because, well, it didn't affect me. But whenever I talked to my managers, the people managing that staff member, it was evident for a while now. And I thought we could coach through it. I thought we could work through it. And again, I still think there's times when there's talent, you try to make it work. But when your talent does not outweigh your deficiencies, you got to move on. It's not worth the battle. So that's just my perspective, what I've been going. Leave a comment below if you have a staff member where they're not pulling their weight, but you're afraid to make the move. You're afraid to make that jump. Or email me. I want to know. You're not alone. Sometimes when you see that other people are fighting these same battles, and like myself, I finally made the leap. I had that staff member removed from the equation, and everything's working better. The culture is better. We're short a person, but we'd rather be short a person and have this work environment than a bad work environment that you're walking on eggshells. It's a better overall situation. Make the move. Make the decision. That's why you're the boss. That's why you get paid the big bucks. That's what I have for you. We'll have more for you next week. Where, oh, where has the time gone? We are to the closing thought of the episode. And today, I'm going to talk about our problems. Yes, problems. I think that sometimes we fail to recognize that part of our journey is dealing with problems, dealing with issues, overcoming. If you had a magic wand and you could flow through everything just effortlessly, and without any kind of conflict, at the end of the day, you'd get a little bored. You'd look for something new. You'd try to fill that void of overcoming, of achieving. Now, that's a big thing to realize. So when you're stressed, when you're having issues, if you reframe it in such a way that you say, this is the cost of doing business at this level. This is the price that you pay to be the doctor that you are, to own your own practice. And it's fine. It's not the end of the world. And the alternative problem that you'd be fighting is actually worse than the problems you face now. Right? I'm thinking, how do I grow my office? How do I add a doctor? Versus, can I start an office? Am I going to be able to have my own practice someday? I'd much rather be in the position I am now. When you are able to take a step back and look at what situation you're dealing with, and the alternative scenario, it makes your problems feel a little bit better, right? And when you reframe it and say to yourself, this is what it feels like to be in this position, right? You think all those billionaires, all the people that have achieved what you want to achieve, haven't went through these struggles, that they don't have problems much bigger in scale than what we have because of the, you know, playing field that they're on? They still have problems. They still have things that they have to do. So embrace your moment, reframe it, realize the alternative, and know that this is the cost of doing business. This is what hard feels like, and that's okay. That's what I have for you. Dr. Lily out.